Blog Talk Radio.
Just started. Can't start till it's time.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Monday. Today is June 15th, 2015. I'm Michelle Fiché, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now, let's welcome Michael in support of developing our inner process of Aramaic forgiveness.
Well, thank you, young lady, and thank you for notifying us when we moved into the central time zone. I did not reset my alarms for the show today, so thank you for, number one, hosting, and number two, for texting us and letting us know it's time for the show, our error. And here we are. We're in Memphis, Tennessee. Just looking at the shiny new cover on the pyramid in Memphis, if you've never seen it before. It's a huge, probably 300-foot tall pyramid. Of course, replicating the pyramids in Memphis, Egypt. And it's been taken over by a corporate sponsor. It used to be a stadium. It's been taken over by a corporation, and so it's now a retail store. It's a huge stadium-sized pyramid. Interesting process. In any event, we are here to understand, engage in, and learn the first century process of Aramaic forgiveness, which is quite a different thing than what our culture has taught us is forgiveness. And of course, we've all been taught that if I'm in pain, it's somebody else's fault. All I need to do is let them off the hook, and then I'll be happy. Then my problems will be done, which, of course, is an interesting fraud. And the real process of forgiveness is how, when I'm in pain or turmoil or trauma, do I undo the root of my trauma? How do I free myself from the insanity of a mind gone awry? And a mind gone awry blames everybody else for what it's producing and what it's experiencing. So the culture is filled with the language that says, you made me sad, you made me afraid, you hurt me, you made me mad. That really upset me, that disturbed me. They really are a problem in my life. Of course, tongue-in-cheek, I'll remind people often, you'll notice if you've been through a particular painful reality, 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. And when you realize, maybe this is being produced by my mind, maybe what I'm experiencing has nothing to do with anyone or anything outside of me. Gee, maybe I don't know how to operate my mind. Because every time I turn around, I find myself in some form of hostility or fear. Is my mind meant to produce hostility or fear? Am I meant to live in that state? Am I meant to point at my children, my parents, my spouse, my coworkers, my neighbors, And flipping them off, tell them why they're the problem in my life and why they're the cause of my rage, my sadness, my grief, my pain. Well, our offering with this work is, if you hold a newborn child, you will get a direct experience of what a human life is and what is meant to fuel the human mind. And when you tap into that awesome active presence of love and you realize that that's the fuel for the human mind, then you realize that perhaps somebody didn't train you in how to use your own mind. And maybe there's a big wake-up call happening. And the wake-up call is, if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. I've got something going on in me that I need to correct. And when I do, then I'll be freed of whatever it is that's going on. The truth is, we were given the most powerful device that any human being will ever touch. There is no supercomputer on the planet that even comes close to what your individual human mind is doing and is capable of doing. However, if no one ever taught you how to use that device, imagine someone sitting you down in front of a computer, never having seen an electrical device before, what do you have to do to even turn it on? How do you even start? And then what do you do with that thing? And most people are kind of in that posture. They've been handed a genetic history, a way of behaving that their family system and their culture has taught them, and that's their starting point in life. And they never go beyond it because they're stuck in that prison in the mind. There's an interesting video that I post fairly regularly about a dog that goes to the door and wants out, and the master opens the solid wood door, and there's a glass door or a screen door on the outside of that particular opening. And the glass or the screen, whichever it is gone. It isn't there. And yet, having been there for, I presume, the length of time the dog has been in that space, the dog won't go out the door. The owner of the dog steps through the door. There's no glass, there's no screen. The dog could easily follow him through, but he doesn't. He stands on the inside of the door waiting for the empty frame to be opened. And then when the dog comes back, to come back in the house, it stands and waits. The gentleman who owns the dog steps out through the door with no glass and no screen in it and opens the door for the dog to go in. The dog still won't go in the door until the frame, which is empty, is open. How many situations have we each had where we were locked into the kind of mindset that put us into that kind of limit because we were not aware and did not know how to operate our own minds? So this device we were given is so powerful, and most people were never given instructions on how it works, what makes it work, and what makes it dysfunctional. They were the modeling that was done for most people was to model dysfunction, rage and guilt and grief and fear and pain, and blame it on the children. And the children grew up going, oh, I guess that's just the way the mind works. And we were taught that if our own mind is dysfunctional and producing hostility or fear, that we should blame somebody else, put our upset on them, and never become responsible to clean out the upset in our own minds. We get stuck in that. We're in a place where we're insane. And our definition in this work of insanity is a mind without the active presence of love. We're here to support each individual becoming responsible for the content of their own minds and removing what never belonged. Our culture is basically yes, there are wonderful people. You know, I've seen some wonderful people who just, you know, are so awesome and creative and intelligent. Yet, when the stress is up and the chips are down and their child happens to be the object of attention, on a second's notice will rage at this child that they say they cherish. That's dysfunction. I've watched people. I mean, you know, how many times you've been driving downtown and watch the 80-year-old blue-haired lady behind the wheel of a car that can hardly see over the steering wheel flip the bird to somebody. How many times have you seen that? That's dysfunctional. How many times have you seen an outbreak in a, you know, let's go to a hockey game or a football game, and you watch these people in their rage over that team's up 2 points over my team, and they go home depressed, and they have to sit and slush back alcohol in order to feel better. How many times have you watched somebody who has had pain happen in their lives, and because they didn't have the tools, were never shown how to remove their pain, and therefore ended up in a situation where hostility became their addiction, or drugs became their addiction, or alcohol became their addiction? And to recognize that when we can restore the human mind to its proper fuel supply, which is love, then everything turns around. And the power of that is that when you know how the mind works, you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and they say to him, you know, what? Let's give the long form of the question. How do you live a human life? What's most important? What comes first if you want to have a true human life? And you remember, he says, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. He doesn't say, I come to bring you threat or fear or, you know, all the other stuff that's so dysfunctional relative to I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. If life is the active presence of love, then how about if we simply were taught to restore love to our minds, to restore love, the presence of our human beingness to our own physiology? And the power of that is that anything that doesn't belong in human physiology, when you restore it to love, simply begins to dissolve. Not necessarily a Dr. Feelgood process. You know, if you go back into the archives, actually, I think if you go to whyagain.org and you look at you click on the bullseye, and the third link down is a series of radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole process of the worksheet, the forgiveness process. If you haven't touched that, that's where you'll find it. But there's another, and I'm not sure exactly how it's labeled. It probably has Terry's name on it, but Terry Bowling called in over a period of a couple of days and went through just some major processing work. If you want to have a look at what the healing process looks like, then there it is. That's how it's done. It isn't Dr. Feelgood. It means that we need to melt out of this system what doesn't belong. Well, how do you do that? Well, it was this guy 2,000 years ago said, here's the key. You have a condition. Now, the Greeks translated as you must love God, neighbor, and self. Nothing even resembles that in the Aramaic. What it says is, first of all, have rachma. And rachma in Aramaic is a filter over the frontal lobes of the brain that supports the brain using only intentions key to love as raw material for its process. And the starting point of everything that happens in the mind is intentions. And the secondary purpose of that filter is that it's a gateway that brings human life into human form. So first order of business, bring human life into your form before you say or do anything, before you look at any situation, and make sure that you take responsibility for maintaining that state within yourself. And as you do, what happens is, you now have the gateway for human life to stay in your human form. No matter what happens in your world, the worst travesties, the worst tragedies can occur, and though it seems impossible to people, you can stay connected to the presence of love unless your mind is dysfunctional and it's been programmed with hostility and fear, sadness, grief, rage, guilt, pain. then what happens is that travesty occurs in your life, and that sadness, grief, fear, rage, pain, whatever it is, starts to move. And we think that's a natural response to a situation that is not desirable. My offering that is that is not a natural response. It's become a normal response in our society because our society is so dysfunctional and has not how to operate its own instrument, its own device. When you recognize that, there is a technology that was also taught 2,000 years ago for how to literally remove hostility or fear from your mind. How to step up into a space where, no matter what happens, there's a solution for keeping this awesome, powerful device, your mind, on track. And when you are able to do that, now, it's not going to be an overnight event. It's not going to just be, oh, well, I do one forgiveness process, then everything's taken care of. No, it takes time. If you're still capable of hostility, fear, sadness, grief, or rage, then energies are integrated into your device that don't belong there. In the first century, what we were offered was a technology and a tool that has basically been disappeared from the planet. The tool is called forgiveness. It has nothing to do with me letting you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. It has to do with me going inside of me and literally coming to the point where I remove the generational inclination to get lost in hostility or fear and blame circumstances. It's a big test. It isn't an overnight happening. It isn't a one-time event. If we've lived for generations and generations and generations in that hostility or fear, you know, I was in Greece back a couple of years ago, and a couple of years ago, 15 years ago now, and I noticed that the level of smoking there was just outrageous, like far beyond any place else in Europe. And there was no such thing as a place to go to eat where there weren't smokers. I understand that's changed. I talked to somebody recently. And but when I was there, what I was told, you know, when I was inquiring, it's like, we know that the root of all addiction is unresolved unconscious pain. Oftentimes pain people don't even know they have. And then I start realizing the history and starting to read some of the stories and how many times that country was laid waste, how many generations of people went through the terror and the trauma of marauding bands of people with guns and weapons, killing, slaughtering, maiming, you know, parents, children, spouses, you know, and the level of trauma and pain is just outrageous. And so if we come from a genetic history of that sort of trauma, of course there's going to be pain at every turn. Because any situation that resonates content in the mind, what's going to happen is the mind is going to take that content, make a world of pictures out of it, an internal picture that makes us look at the external circumstance as the cause of what's happening inside of us. And we paint pictures out of that internal content that supports us living in the hostility and fear-based mind. And our purpose here with this work is to free you from that, is to get loose of the hostility and fear-based mind until we get to a point where we truly actually function as human beings. How many generations might you need to work through in order to do that? Well, there's an interesting story in the Old Testament about a group of Jews who wandered in the desert for 40 years. Now, when you think about that, how do you get lost in a 30-square-mile area for 40 years? It wasn't about a physical desert and being lost in this hot, sandy place. The word desert in the ancient Aramaic is a key a concept of the unconscious. And most people wander 30, 40, 50 years unconsciously, having no idea that there's anything they can do about what's going on because they've never been trained to operate or repair their own minds. And so, you know, most of us have a legacy, a generational legacy of so much trauma and pain that it seems like, well, that must just be the way life is. And that is not the way life is. That is not the way that life is designed to be. That's the way we are. That's what we've been structured with, and that's what we've been taught to function out of. And so as you step into the use of the tools, over time, as you build the brain cell, shifts and changes start to occur. I know that over the years in watching that and people stepping into doing their work, that in order to make a really deep shift and really comprehend and start to move in the direction of doing one's real work, you know, in the ancient teachings, a man named Yeshua said, take up your cross and follow me. You notice he didn't say, take up my cross. He said, take up your cross. What is it in you that holds you in any form of hostility or fear? Pick that up and throw it out. Restore yourself to a human life. Is that going to take time? Absolutely. Is it going to be fun? No. There will be some awesome times if you connect into the truth of who you are where you'll go, I got it. I know who I am. And then the next layer comes up that needs healing, and the tendency can be to forget. Well, the reason for this radio show is on a day-to-day basis, we're here to support you remembering, knowing who you really are, how you are really designed to function, and functioning as this awesome presence of love, free of any form of hostility or fear. Now, people say, but isn't it just normal to get angry with somebody if they do thus and so? And I say, well, it is normal, but it's not natural. That's a programmed brainwashed state that we want to get free of. And as you choose to get free of it, then you get to live a different world. You get to live a different life. And that's what we're here to support. So we're delighted that you're here to be part of this conversation. And Michelle, is Dr. Tim with us today?
No, actually, I don't see his number on the switchboard this afternoon.
Okay. Well, we'll send him a salute and a hello, and look forward to him coming back, getting back with us. And how about yourself? Any thoughts for you today?
No, I don't really have much to comment on. I know I've been practicing just staying in a space of love, like setting my RACMA filter, like moment by moment. Not that I'm doing it 24/7, but really trying to train my brain to practice as that's the default. So I'm noticing lots of upset, and, you know, I notice it's more about having a better contrast for the fear and hostility, so that it shows up, the subtler and the finer parts of it, not the, you know, full-blown rages or anything, just all those little irritations, annoyances, the ones that can almost slip by if you're not paying attention. Like, that's kind of the game I'm up to this last week or so.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, you have our support in doing that. It's a powerful thing to do. I don't remember whether you were at Heartland this summer when Michael Coughlin's a gentleman who we have permission to share his story, who showed up at Heartland in a wheelchair. And there was one point where, after a still point breathing session, he hardly said a word for 4 days. We couldn't get him to say anything. And he just walked around in this totally connected state, just plugged right in. And it was just after that that Michael started, instead of having to hobble around with a cane or use his wheelchair or his walker, started jogging up the hill. It's a pretty awesome shift. Presence of love that dissolves things that don't belong is just the most amazing thing. And it doesn't matter whether it's you know, physical pain. I mean, Michael was working with tumors. They'd electrocuted a nerve in his spine to try and stop his pain. That put him in a wheelchair. And, you know, it really doesn't matter what it is, emotional trauma. You know, the nature of my conversations, Michael being former military, we've had lots of hot discussions about the necessity for weapons and killing people. And the tone of our conversations has changed dramatically since that four-day period. And so that experiential plugging into that presence of love is pretty awesome. So I offer you congratulations. Were you there at that point in the summer?
No, I was. I saw the before and after of that, and right. It was
right.
Remarkable. We do have somebody with a hand up, though. So
awesome.
If you wanna
say hello.
Yeah. Area code 917. You're on the air.
Hello.
Well, hey there, young lady. That sounds like Brenda.
It's Sarah.
Oh, Sarah. Oh, awesome. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to share my experience with closing the farm. I promised I would. And
yeah.
It was a good. So for all of you that are doing your work and trying to create consciously, I just wanted to share my little story.
Tell us about it.
If I compare my life to a movie, before I met Michael, I had the capacity of creating drama and trauma. Very powerful movies, just not the type I wanted. And one of our goals and dreams was to buy an organic farm that was 35 acres and create organic gardens so we can teach people how to have a sustainable and healthy lifestyle. And I can sincerely say that if it wasn't for my work and my commitment to creating the reality that I wanted to create and canceling all the disintegrative energy and all the goals that were attached to things that had to go, I don't think I would have gone to the process that brought us to closing about 10 days ago. So it took about 5 years, and until the last minute, I'd say the last 2 weeks before we closed, we had a lot of challenges, and my husband and I were very blessed that we did the intensive about the teacher's training about 15 days before we closed, and holding a space of love with the seller and being able to have a clear mind and stay on focus and manage doing our process to be able to release all the fear and the hostility that we had with the seller. It was a difficult process because he was in all challenging, to say the least, because he was in bankruptcy and foreclosure, and he was very hostile. And I'm really, really grateful, Michael, that we came to the intensive. It wasn't my first one, and I have many more to do, but it was really, it's really because I stayed connected that everything happened, and until the very last second, we could have lost, it could have gone a very different direction, and because we were able to stay in that space, it happened. So for all of you that are thinking, oh, I want to create something different, well, every day you can completely change the outcome of your life if you can stay connected and believe in your power of creation. We're both very, very young, my husband and I, and a lot of people said that it would be impossible and we'd never get there and it was dangerous. And we kept the vision alive and we kept acting and keeping our thoughts aligned with the goal we were trying to accomplish, and by doing our work, we did it. I wanted to share that.
Awesome.
So that people can know that they can do the same with whatever dream that they hold dear and that they want to accomplish.
Yay. I'll second that.
Yay.
That's fabulous. Nice work. And you guys just hung in there in such a powerful way. It was just amazing. And I know that, you know, when you found out the seller was actually not paying the mortgage after you made the deal with him and all of that, it could have easily been the place for victimhood and negativity and hate and rage and all that kind of neat stuff. And I know that several layers of some of that stuff came up for you, and you just gracefully worked through it, kept in communication, kept the energy moving, and now you're the proud owners of this awesome farm. And we got to visit there back several weeks ago, and what a beautiful spot. What you're doing is just it's monumental. So congratulations. We're honored to be part of the process.
Well, thank you. Me too.
Yay.
And now
and it was also a delight. Excuse me, go ahead.
No, please.
Well, I was going to say it was also a delight to be at your hotel and do the 20-day teacher training there. That just worked really nicely, and it was fabulous, the food that you prepared, and the food that was grown on your farm that we got to eat. Thank you, Sergio. That was just, I mean, your farm is just so beautiful, so fabulous to see the food that's coming off of it. So, great work.
Well, thank you. I'm glad we got to this point, and now that we reached a new level of vitality, and that, as we said, once we close, it's going to be calm and this and that, and it worked for about 3 days, and then the next level of garbage came up, so now we have to, I thought I would have to do all this work on myself, and then I would attain this goal and take a break, and I realized more than ever this week that, it's a daily process. It's like if you reach the next step that you have to stop. I have to continuously keep doing it. And thank you for the radio show because it gives me a community, and it's really a part of my day now that I invest in myself. And if I take time to invest in businesses or in going to the gym, or at the end of the day, that's what helps me create consciously all day long. So it's priceless.
Fabulous, and I'll invite you to let go of this idea that you need to break something to get an intermission. I'll support you creating vacations rather than breaks. You know, I knew a woman several years ago who was living a pretty busy life, and she kept saying, "I want a long break, I want a long break, I want a long break." And she fell, and the bone between the elbow and the shoulder is the longest bone in the human body, and it is the least broken bone in the human body. She fell and broke it. And it was interesting. Again, it's the least broken bone in the body. About 6 months after she broke that bone, her former husband, who she'd been divorced from for about 10 years, broke the same bone. Now, what are the chances of that? You know, he was walking into a fast food restaurant, slipped and fell, and broke the same bone that she had. And,
yeah, I want a vacation. That's much better.
yeah. No coincidence in the fact, I believe, that even though they'd been divorced for 10 years, of course, they're genetically linked. And, you know, the energy that bounces back and forth between people is amazing. And so often we allow ourselves, our minds, to intercourse in places where our minds don't belong. We conceive, and then we give birth to an experience. They wonder who the father of the experience was. And we want to blame somebody else and not realize that we're the ones who have set the seed in motion for whatever happens in our world. And as we choose to uproot those old seeds, which sometimes can be a painful process, then you get to free yourself. And forgiveness is the key. Again, forgiveness meaning the tool with which I remove from my unconscious mind the root, the source of my pain, my fear, my grief, my rage, and be restored to love. So nice work. Awesome. I look forward to watching that farm grow and you know, just moving forward with the work.
Thank you, Michael.
I talked with Joel last night, and it sounds like he's probably going to be doing a men's group with the forgiveness process as a result of his engagement in teacher training. So that was pretty cool. And so it's just powerful to watch all the different places the work is unfolding. And, you know, different people who are sourcing it in their own unique way and putting it out there on a global scale. It's just so, so powerful. So thank you to everybody who chooses to participate. And thanks for sharing that with us and letting us know what's happening. That's just fabulous. And keep us posted.
Thank you, Michael. Have a great day.
Okay, it's in the plan. Blessings. Bye-bye. So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. If you have a thought, a question, an answer for us, we'd love to hear from you. And when you, if you're
right.
In the phone queue now, push 1, and that raises a hand in the control panel, and Michelle will open the voice for your conversation. So you've got somebody, Michelle, chat?
Yeah, Julie from Ashland, Oregon's on the phone.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm rocking right along. We're just getting ready to pull out of Memphis, and we'll be at Heartland in 4 or 5 hours, and so we're on the road.
Oh, that's so great. These summer intensives bring such light to the world.
Yeah,
so,
we're on it.
I had some really great success working with what you tuned me into in the last show about procrastination.
Uh-huh.
And I was just sort of asking myself, gee, where does this procrastination come from? And I decided to sit down and watch the DVD, Getting the Stress You Need, which is about goals.
Right.
And
yep.
The first 5 minutes, you do a short little process to have people go through different feelings. And you go from sadness to
right.
fear to anger to intimidation. And
right.
I realized that that's pretty much a web in my mind. That's exactly what I do. I feel sad. And then what I do with it is go into fear about it can hurt me and I might die from it, you know. And then into anger, which is like a more of a behavior mode, a motivator, you know, an unconscious driving energy that says, I've got to do something about this. And then the intimidation, that surprised me. That really surprised me when we came to that one. And the thoughts that it brought up for me were about self-doubt and feeling oppressed and victim and it was actually a place where it generated even more anger in me. And I realized that I keep doing that, and I'm covering up my actual original sadness. And I've been
yeah.
feeling really numb and dumb lately, just really, you know, that kind of layer I've been in. And so it was
hostility
really, really
always
helpful.
Hostility is a drug.
What?
Hostility is always an internally produced drug.
Yeah, that's what you mean when you say that. I got a sense of it. So that's really freeing me, and I'm not sure where it's going to go next, but I really appreciate, again, everything that you teach. So, thank you.
Delighted. Glad to be on the team.
Mm-hmm. So am I. Okay, well, that's it. I just wanted to make a little report and keep at it. I'll be keeping at it.
All right. Well, you know we'd be holding the space.
Yes, and I just also want to say I'm also experiencing joy. So, you know,
cool.
because of the opportunity, you know, to heal. So, thank you.
I hear
mm-hmm.
you. And it is,
all right.
You know, fortunately we get those moments of reprieve from the intensity where you get that connected space. You know, like I was sharing a few minutes ago, Michael walking around for 4 days. I mean, he did some intensive work last summer. And then for 4 days, he walks around in this just blissful, connected space. And, you know, it's such a rewarding process when you engage in it. And then when you see how the brainwashed mind, in certain circumstances, would tend to go back to the old pattern, and you realize, gee, I've let go of that one. I'm free of that. Where is that old pattern? It's gone. I'm done with it. It's a pretty cool space to be in, for sure.
Yes. And, Michael, that was the part with the procrastination, is that I would sabotage myself with that mind loop of those energies. And now I feel free, like the lady before was speaking about, just sticking to the goal, you know, really seeing
right.
it through and knowing how to navigate it. So thank you again. What was her name? It wasn't Brenda. You thought it was Brenda, but it wasn't.
Oh, that was Sarah.
Sarah
and her father own the hotel that we did our 40-day, or our 20-day, pardon me, teacher training at this past summer in Orlando, or Kissimmee, Florida.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that was real helpful what she was sharing. I appreciated that. So inspiring and encouraging.
Cool. Awesome.
So, okay. I'll
All right. Well,
go.
thank you for your reporting in. We appreciate it.
Uh-huh. All right. You're welcome. Thanks for appreciating it. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye. So the time is flying. It's we've got about 15 minutes left. So if there's a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room, it'd be cool to know about it. Let's move forward. Michelle?
Chat room's quiet today, and although we have several callers, no one currently with their hand up.
Okay. Well, recognizing, you know, bouncing off of Sarah's conversation a few minutes ago and really recognizing one's own unconscious dynamics is such a key part in the process of healing. And one of the ways to do that is by simply observing your words. So often people will use words that are based in hostility or fear, and of course oftentimes the excuse is, well, you know, words don't mean anything. It's like, yeah, words can be invested a whole lot of power if that's what they resonate in you. But just observing your words, and when you see words that are key to hostility or fear rather than acceptance and just playing along with them, that's the place to stop and look at what's beneath this. Why would I use words like this in this situation? So often we look at the parent and the child. We were talking with someone recently, and we have a baby that's about 1 year of age, and they were just saying how delighted they were at being a parent, being a father, and was able to watch an interaction with this young man, just so delighted with his daughter, just so excited and all, and watched interaction with someone else in his life, and his unconscious interaction when there was just slight stress. And the slight stress was, here's this person that he's sitting with that he knows very well, and this person isn't following his instructions to the letter. And all of a sudden, his tone of voice changes, and he goes into speaking down to her like she is a bad child, and not in so many words, but with energy, chastising her, and was able to process with her afterward. It's someone who has input for this young man, was able to process with her, and what she confirmed was that, yeah, that's what I used to do with him. You know, when he talks about how he cherishes his baby at a year of age and how delighted he is, she said, I was the same way as that. And then, of course, it's his mother I'm speaking about. And then she said, you know, I realized that my mother used to scream a lot. And when scream at him. And so here's the family legacy passed on. And, you know, it was hard to sit and watch the interaction last evening and kind of bite my tongue and not say, you know, I hear those words coming out of your mouth about how much you just love your child, and I certainly, you know, honor that and support you in that. But do you notice what you just did with your mom? Did you notice the berating that you did with her and the way you spoke down to her? That's a result of stress and not having infantile goals met, passing on a power person dynamic. So the power person rages at the child absorbs the energy of the rage, and then 20, 30 years later, 40 years later, here the child is now returning the rage. And the part where I had to kind of bite my tongue was to recognize, to invite him to recognize, now, notice right now when you're under stress, what you're willing to do with your mom, who you say you love, is to berate her and speak down to her. Do you realize that if you don't look at your mind and clean that part of your mind up, that's what you're going to do to your child? As your child starts to grow and she violates that goal that you have, and you can bet with the power person that when the power person didn't have their goal met, this child should understand instantly that's when the stress would come up and the berating energy. And it just gets passed from generation to generation. I suspect if I'd said something, I might have had my head bitten off. And so I just kind of, you know, not time for me to play John the Baptist here. I'll just keep quiet. But I so much wanted to say, you know, I see the excitement in your eyes and hear the excitement in your voice with your child. But you've got to look at this power person dynamic and work it out. Or 30 years from now, you know what your daughter's going to be doing? She's going to be sitting with her child and berating them and belittling them and speaking down to them because it's a generational pattern. And so we were at least able to process some of that last night with mom and her willingness to stand with that and to go through the next layer of that will quite likely be enough to open the space for all of that to heal. But it's definitely for me a challenge still to sit and watch that kind of dynamic unfold, know that it's a generational pattern, and know that it's moving right along to the next generation unless somebody does something. And if you see yourself in any of that, then you know, the best solution you will find on planet Earth was this guy 2,000 years ago who created a tool called forgiveness. It's got nothing to do with letting somebody off the hook. You know, if that person who violates my goal for them to understand instantly and do what they're told instantly, my hostility that seems to be toward them has nothing to do with them. It's an internal dynamic absorbed from my power person and passed from generation to generation. Forgiveness is the tool with which, if I apply it correctly, I go inside myself and remove that pattern from me so that I don't have to pass it on unconsciously to the next generation. And that's the whole essence of this work, is to heal and move forward with the generations. Clean up, literally, every hostility or fear and bring forward the truth of being, the truth of this awesome active presence of love that we're designed to be. And if you have any thoughts about that, we've got 7 or 8 minutes left. If you have a question for us and you're in the phone queue, you could push 1 and that will raise your hand and we'll know you want to chat. So Michelle, anybody with a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room?
Nope, not right now, Michael.
Okay. Well, I'll just offer that if I had been in your city and you came to a live workshop. Yes.
Okay, we have a caller here. Area code 407.
407, welcome to the show. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Orlando, Florida.
Say it again. You're cutting out a little bit.
Yeah, this is Abdul Bugami. I'm calling from Florida.
I apologize, but your phone's just cutting out too much. I'm getting about a half of every other word. So if there's perhaps another phone you could call in on.
Okay, of course.
Are you hearing him, Michelle? Is it maybe my phone?
No, the connection's very poor. He said he was calling from Florida.
Okay, maybe try just hang up and calling back, and let's see how we can support you. 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. And if you have a question for us, you push 1. And that raises your hand in the little control panel, and Michelle will go click and introduce you by your area code.
Well, let's try it again, Michael.
Okay.
Yes, hello. Yeah, hello.
Much better.
Okay, this is Abdul from Florida. Orlando, Florida.
Well, hey there, young man. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Me too. Thank you for all what you're doing to the humanity, Mr. Rice. I was in Tunisia. And I was thinking about you all the time, and I think there is a need all over. I wish that one day you can do that in other languages too, especially French.
Well, we're working on it, and actually there's a young lady that you know that's working on a French translation, so hopefully we'll have that before too long. I haven't talked to her about it recently. I'll have to call her and see how that's going, but yes, it would be awesome to get the book into French and get things moving forward. So how can we support you today, sir? You were gone out of the country for better than a month, weren't you?
Yes, exactly. And I am calling because I need your input regarding my health. I was taking this antidepressant medication since many years, and for I don't know why, but it keep coming from the drugstore, and I was functioning with it until I discover the juice fasting, and I discover your work, and they discover my daughter farm, organic farm. But I went to Tunisia, and the medication was it's finished, you know, and I became like very, very drowsy, and very it was very, very tough for me to function without it, especially to sleep at night, you know. And when I don't take this medication in the morning, I'm not well at all.
I understand, especially, I mean, a cold turkey withdrawal like that is tough to do. That's a pretty intense process for sure.
Yeah, I'm a little bit better now because it's about now 2 weeks. But it was really difficult, and it's still difficult. I'm taking some fresh juice, organic fresh juice, recommended by my daughter Sarah, and I feel better. But really, I think it will be helpful for some other people to know how to do that, to cut not the medication, but at least to reduce it, you know.
Right. Well, you know, since you got stuck over there without medication, and you've gone through that 2 weeks of withdrawal, and that's, wow, after that many years, that's pretty tough. I certainly hold the space, and, you know, keeping the flow of high vitality, fresh organic food can be a powerful way to support the body from in doing the detox that it needs to do to flush that out of the system. And then, of course, recognize that in doing that, and it's certainly not something I would ever recommend, just going cold turkey off of that kind of stuff, but looks like you've already done that kind of by force. You got stuck in Tunisia and couldn't access it. So the other thing is to recognize that all of the things that have been locked down energetically by those drugs are going to tend to start to surface in your mind. And so as you look at, you know, what were the issues that were going on that originally you were prescribed the use of those medications, to really start to be willing, and, you know, maybe even before those things spontaneously come up, start doing some work around those issues and some of the forgiveness process, so that you can free yourself of that energetic insult that happened so many decades ago, and then, of course, keep feeding your body and letting loose of it. That's a powerful place to go. There's a very powerful book written by a chiropractor named Bernard Jensen, and it's called Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management. And what Jensen does is he walks people through several different kinds of detoxification programs. He's got one of the best outlines for that process that I know of in that book. It's called a Kalima program. And so you might want to look at that. And I know when I talked to Sarah, I suggested that book to her and start perhaps to look at that. And in the meantime, we're down to just the last few seconds. So we'll just keep holding the space and keep the conversation open and support you in moving through anything and everything that comes up. We are down to the last few seconds, so I apologize. I'm going to have to close the show out, but we appreciate you chooses to be with us every day that you do, and Abdu will be in touch very shortly, and have the best year yet of your eternal life. That's what we're here to do. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.